Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Nope. No time for that intro, lads. We're back off to sea.
Dungeons & Junkies presents Alex's Campaign, Tales of Autorbia, Episode 19, Mind Games.
Got it, creepy lady.
Are you ready, Matt?
Aye, aye, Captain.
You ready, Gary?
Scream.
I can't hear you.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
Gary.
Welcome back to the Game Junkies.
Dungeons and Junkies, Alex, even more precise. Exactly. This is of this at night. I think you're talking carry on, it's yours with a DM this week.
Hello, I'm Alex from the Game Junkies. I've also invited other people along with us. So let us start with talking about who we've invited along first. We'll start with Caitlin.
As I take a sip of my juice, thanks for that.
Yeah, I was looking in the wrong place, to be fair. I apologise.
Sure. Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm still Caitlin. I will always be Caitlin, unless I change my name. But I play Elysalir, the human monk warlock who's here to steal your girl. Swiggity swooty, come in to get that booty.
Just make a note, I did give you inspiration the other day because you were very funny.
Yeah.
You can have that in this session.
I was amusing. Yay.
Speaking of amusing, let's talk about the tortilliest bro here, Chad.
Hello, I am Chad, and today I will be playing everyone's favorite living weapon monk, now juggernaut barbarian, the tortilliest of all bros, the broiest of all tortles, Picasso!
And on the other side of barbarians, Kerry.
Hello, yes, this is Rat. Ran is barbarian, no, and also not fighter, because barbarian is not spicy.
Fair enough. And lastly, someone who isn't feeling most spiciest at the moment, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am Matt, and I am playing Captain Reed Toscobble, the once halfling, temporarily, hopefully, goblin, arcane trickster pirate who has in the time since they've set back at the sail again has now become partially bardic.
Fair enough, and now this group finally has one healing spell, so who knows, perhaps we'll survive for longer now. So we continue 4 hours from the Knoll Island after the Knolls were successfully saved and the island was vanquished. Avery Jr. did escape, but it doesn't matter for now. He can be killed another day. You all decided to get some sleep as the island, through some heavy challenges in, we were all needing of a rest. Literally, Picasso fell asleep on the deck. So everyone goes back to their cabins. We'll start with Reed. As you walk into your cabin, just having a nightcap before you go to sleep, despite the fact that the sun is rising, you feel a bit hazy for a second, and then you black out.
I'm guessing we just like face plant the deck.
You're not too sure how long time passes, but as you start to come back into consciousness, you can feel a burning sensation on your neck.
What the hell was that? What is an artifact of what Riley gave me? I hope not.
It's a bit odd, because as you touch the side of your neck, there's like a brand on your neck. As you just feel it, it's like a small circle with a dot in the middle. You're not really sure what it is. You remember, the only things you really remember was the name Dagon in someone being really angry at you for insulting them, but that's what you really remember.
I feel even more tired than I did before. Reed to continue back to his cabin.
Yeah. And you eventually go back to your cabin and go to sleep. So within these 4 hours, Aloy and Aloran eventually pack away the staff, and Aloy goes to get their 4 hours of ragdoll as the others continue their last 4 hours of sleep. But the staff has had a weird effect, being drawn out, being taken out of the box. It's almost like it's come out of a rest. And it's only affected a couple of the players. Picasso, as you sleep, you start to dream. And as you come into consciousness, you're sat on the beach of Unork. But it isn't just like you're there again. It's a memory. Everything suddenly comes back to you. This is the day where Mickey finally left the island, making you the last brother here, knowing that you have another year to wait before you can even leave. And a sudden emptiness just hits you as you stare out into the sea.
Gasso's just sitting, kind of staring off. I see him picking up random pebbles from around him and sending them skipping across the ocean, past the cave, just staring at the hole in the side of the mountain. Not really sure at all what to do right now. He keeps turning his head to make a joke with Mikey. There's no one next to him. And eventually just keeps skipping stones, staring off.
Just make me an athletics check quickly.
That is a 19.
Okay, you grab the last stone that's next to you, and as you yeet it out to sea, it skims 19 times before eventually stopping and sinking.
New record. Beat your record, Mikey.
Well, his record was a 16, so definitely beaten. As the time goes on, you feel a tap on your shoulder with a cane, and as you look around, the elder turtle is there, just smiling at you.
You've been down here a while, Picasso. What is the matter?
Yugwe, why couldn't I leave with Mikey?
Well, you see, my boy, your time is not ready yet. You still have more training to do, more learning to do. You will be ready by the next year, but until that time comes, you must wait here, my boy.
Elder Tortle, how did you do it when you had to be alone, bro?
Oh, boy. Those memories, they're difficult to remember. They're so long ago. I forget, to be honest with you. It's hazy. I remember feeling a lot like you, though. An emptiness as my fellow friends left, and I was still here for yet another year. But it does not matter. You shouldn't look into the future, as it's still a mystery. It's not there yet for you to know what's going to happen. But the day in front of you today is a gift to cherish, a gift that you should use to do more training, to study some more, to discover who you truly are.
Picasso wipes a tear from his eye, stands up. All right, Elder Tortle, I'm going to be the best of them all then. You're right.
Can't cry about this right now, bro. Gotta get back to work.
Wipes another tear from his other eye.
You know, there is a saying that my elder taught me. It's not one that I use very often, because back when I was your age, I did not like it. He always said to me, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. And that's why they call it the present. That is why you must treasure each day you wake up, knowing that you are given another day to achieve better.
Thanks, Uguay. You always know what to say to make me feel better, bro.
Ah, yes. It's many years of experience. But I'm sure when you eventually make it out there, you'll make friends, and you will truly find your purpose in this world. But remember, with your friends, there is nothing you cannot do, Picasso.
Thank you, Uguay. You think Mikey's gonna be okay?
I'm sure he'll get beaten up a few times, but his mouth's a bit more sharper than yours. But he'll be alright.
I'm gonna miss him, Uguay.
You'll miss him all, but you'll be reunited with them once they fulfill their purposes. Who knows? Perhaps you could be back before any of them. Perhaps you may find your purpose first.
You're funny, Uguay. There's no way Leo isn't going to be back here. I keep expecting him to come back tomorrow.
It's a big world, Bortolvia is. He'll be gone a while.
Uguay?
Yes, Picasso.
Can we get some breakfast, bro? All this sadness has made me really hungry, bro.
Yes, of course. Breakfast sounds like a good thing to me. After you, then? I'm a bit slow these days.
Picasso bends down and picks up one more rock before launching it out again, just one more time.
Roll me an athletics check.
Dirty 20.
You get one more skim this time as it skips 20 times.
Picasso smiles for the first time for the whole morning.
It's gonna be all right.
Yes.
Now head back towards the village.
And as you start walking back, your vision flashes white again. And you hear fighting, you hear explosions in the corners, you hear swords clanging. And your vision eventually comes back to you. It is just you lay in a pile of rubble, feeling weak, bruised, and in pain. And as you look around this room, you see Reed in the corner, in a pile of his own blood, neck snapped backwards. You see what looks like an elephant folk in the corner, struggling to get back up, as his arm is, like, absolutely mangled. Near him is Eli trying to pull herself back up. And as you look in front of you, you see Ran fighting the behemoth of a Triton that was in Fear's ballroom. Ran gets in another swing as he manages to dodge it before she comes back, letting out a roar as she smashes him into the chest and he is thrown against the back wall. But as she goes in for another strike, he manages to grab her maul, ripping out of her hand, knocking her off balance, before swinging it up and smashing it onto her head with a sickening crunch. before she collapses to the ground. The Triton stands back up.
I told you all. This was the fight you cannot win. But your blindness, your arrogance got the better of you.
And he looks over to you.
Oh. Looks like someone's still alive.
Picasso, not really knowing at all what's going on, will try and summon any last bit of strength that he may have at this moment in seeing both the corpse of Reed and now Rand dying. And with anything that he has left right now, he is going to charge at this Triton.
Roll me an athletics check.
That is a crit 20, so that is a 30.
Yeah, just a sheer amount of rage travels through you, one that you've never felt before, as through sheer anger, you pull yourself up and charge at him. He sees you and lifts Rand's Morningstar? I'm getting Rand's weapons confused today, sorry. He lifts Rand's maul up, ready to swing at you, and as he prepares to swing, as you prepare to strike him, your vision flashes white and you awaken on the top of on the deck as a wave comes over the side, splashing you.
Picasso immediately is like jumps to his feet, ready for a fight, as I stare around. Is there anyone on the deck?
Yeah, one of the sailors comes over to you.
Are you right, boy? You were shaking all over the place there.
Bro. Where's Bastard, bro? Where's Furry, bro?
The captain's in his quarters. In
Picasso's like runs right past this guy, just knocking him aside towards the captain's quarters, which he knows are on the main deck.
Reed, you just start to open your eyes as bang, this door swings open. Picasso charges in.
Bastard bro, are you on? And I like charge over to like grab Reed to see if he's okay.
Can I try and like jump out of the way?
You can do, but it'll be with disadvantage because you've just woken up.
Okay, fine. Okay, acrobatic.
We'll call it dexterity saving throw.
Dick saving, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the lowest I got there was a 15.
Just roll me athletics one more time, Chad.
It's a 25.
Yeah, you have no chance of getting away as he just grabs you by the shoulders and starts shaking.
Picasso!
Bastard bro, are you alright?
Picasso, fucking put me down! What the hell?
Bastard bro.
Are you okay?
Where's Furry bro? Bastard bro.
I don't know. I'm guessing in her quarters?
See, Picasso slowly starts to calm himself down.
Picasso, what happened? You don't normally act like this. What's wrong? And would you mind putting me down, please?
Please? Sorry, bastard, bro, and I'll drop you back onto your bed.
Okay. Whew, right. Two arms, two legs, yes. Okay. What happened, Picasso?
I don't know, bastard, bro. We got back from the island, and I remember being really tired, and I fell asleep on the ship. And then the next thing that I know, bastard bro, I was back home. I was on U Nork again.
Right.
And that was nice. But then the next thing I know, I woke up and you were dead, bro. And
dead.
Yeah, dead. Dead, bro. Like a lie, angry bro, dead, bro.
Oof.
And then that massive like dude that we saw at that party, like he smashed Rand's head in, and then he was coming for me, and then I was gonna get his ass, bro. And then I woke up and I was back on the deck of the ship, bro.
Picasso. I'm an expert with this sort of stuff, but did it? It felt real, I'm guessing.
Yeah, bastard, bro. I could feel the cracks in my shell when I was there.
Right. Okay. Right. Go and find Ran. I'm guessing she's in her quarters if you need to feel better about it. But I think maybe we should talk to Ally about this stuff. Ally knows way more about medical stuff than what we do. Even though it's only been a little while I've actually had magic. They still know more than we do.
Alright, bastard, bro. I'm gonna go find Furry, bro.
You go find Ran, I'll go find Ally. Wish me luck.
Picasso's a much paler shade of green than he normally is. As he will
sort of turquoise.
As he storms out of the captain's quarters to go below deck to find Furry, bro.
Okay. Reed will get up from his desk. Pop his hat on, grab his flute, and put it into his pocket, and then making sure he's like as formally attired as he can, heads out onto the deck to try and find Ally.
Okay, so we'll come back to Reed in a minute. Picasso, you come up to the room that you share with Ran and Bib and just smash open the door, waking up Ran as she sleeps on her bed.
Oh, Ran was never asleep. She's kind of hiding under her blanket with just her tail poking out and her head underneath Gurr.
You think Ran's asleep when you smash open the door, but the jump is purely just you scaring her. It looks like she's hiding.
Furry bruh, are you alright?
Ran slowly pulls her head out from underneath Gurr, letting the blanket flop off. No, Picasso. Ran is very far from alright. But Ran is still alive. She gestures to herself with one paw.
Picasso's gonna make his way over and sit on his bed with a very loud, you know, thud to sit down on it. All of his girth. Furry bro, I don't know what's going on right now, Furry bro. And I gotta talk to Angry Bro here in a minute, according to Bastard Bro. But I saw some crazy shit, bro. And I just want you, if we come across a Triton, we can't fight it, bro.
A what?
That big scary dude that we saw at that party.
What am I thinking? Yes, I remember.
We can't fight against that, bro.
Why are we fighting?
I don't know, Furry Bro. I don't know.
Is Picasso needing hug?
Yeah, Furry Bro.
Ran will give Picasso a hug.
Picasso clearly loves the hug and hugs back. Before laying back down on his bed and then pulling out the note from Ally and rereading that for comfort.
Ran goes back to hiding under Gurr.
Yeah, so you just sit there and read through it, just trying to get some comfort back to yourself. Is you're still quite shaken up by a dream that just felt so real. Like nothing has ever felt that real before. It just doesn't make sense. So the letter just calms you down a bit. Reed, you search around the deck and realize Ally's not up here, so she's probably still sleeping. As her sleeping schedule is half of what your guys is, so you guess that maybe she went to bed later or something, given that she's not on the deck.
Right. I know better than to disturb Ally after the last time I went to her quarters. But I am going to I'm going to write a note and slide it under the door.
Okay, what does the note say?
When you get this, Alai, Picasso needs your guidance.
Okay, you just sneak along and just slide the note under. Normally, this should be... Yep,
and then as I walk away, I'm going to start playing my flute. Just for shits and giggles.
Can you make me a stealth check?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be stealthy. You'd be trying to be a little bit of a dick.
With disadvantage, of course.
With disadvantage?
I mean, in this state, I'm conscious, so...
What I mean is, he's literally walking through the sleeping quarters of the night crew.
Like a dick.
I'd love to think about my highest here. My highest here without modifier is a 3.
Wow. Everyone's awake and hates you.
Half-orc stirs, looks up at you, just absolutely pissed off, hair stuck at one side, dried up drool on the other side of his face. As he grabs your flute and just yeets it down the hallway and goes back under his cover.
Attack yourself.
To be fair, it could have been worse. Reed will recover the flute and make notes not do that again.
Caitlin, do you remember that roll at the beginning of the session?
Yeah, it was a 3.
So normally any sort of noise would have just... you would have heard, despite the fact that you're in an unconscious state. You still would have heard it, but you don't. As the staff also pulls you into a dreaming state as well. For this, we'll say you're roughly level 2.
Oh, shit.
As your eyes start to come back to you and the white flash around just fades. As you look down at a much skinnier, smaller pair of hands in chains against a wall in a very familiar monastery.
Ah, shit.
Great. Just where I want to be. Great.
Am I alone in the room?
Yeah, you look around and you're the only one in here.
Ah, oh, thank God. Wait, what state am I in, physically?
Just looking around yourself, it's in surprisingly good nick. This can be real, because...
I'm not cripplingly injured!
Yeah, you're in great condition, so this feels off.
Yeah. I mean, I know better than trying to get out of these chains. It doesn't work.
Hopefully I'm pronouncing this right. As you hear, like, a click of a door being unlocked, and in walks the dwarven monk. Celio, is it pronounced?
Celio. Like Celio, cello, okay. But EO.
Yeah. Yeah. Celio walks in, stares at you and sighs. I leave for a few hours. And you get yourself locked in here again.
Not my fault.
Yeah, well, tell that to the pirate with two broken legs and a...
Oh, he started it.
Yeah, I've told them this doesn't work, as he starts to unchain the shackles.
I think they just want to test out new pairs of shackles, and I'm a good option for it.
Try not to just... You know, it's been a long day.
You all right?
Yeah, just... Something off, that's all. But I've missed my training, you've missed your training, so come on, fists up. We might as well...
In this cell, or are we going to go outside?
Nah, in the cell. They've said you're not entitled to it today, but fuck them.
All right. We're doing standard fisticuffs.
He brings up his hands. Yeah, show me what you got. See if you can hit me.
What? At this point, Alai doesn't have a major amount of discipline, so Alai would just kind of go for it.
Yeah, roll me some attacks to hit. Because you're relatively new to this, we'll just use your dex modifier rather than adding your proficiency bonus on top of it.
We'll just do dex.
An 18 and a 23, surprisingly.
Because I'd only have one unarmed strike at this level. So.
Yeah. As you... Your stance is a bit off from being chained to the wall, but as you go in for the first swing, he just quickly lifts up his hand to block it as you use this opportunity to catch him off guard and just deliver a punch into his chest as he's knocked back. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Right. Think fast. And he is going to attack you.
Ah, shit.
Okay. So
I think my old armor class was 14.
Yeah, we'll call it 15 for the benefit of the text. That's what's going on. He goes in for a strike. You manage to step out of the way. Just, you lie on your feet at the moment. It seems to help at the moment. But he goes in for three more strikes and manages to first catch you in the knee, knocking you over, before hitting you straight in the face. And then delivering one more punch to the chest as he jumps up and it knocks you against the wall.
I supposed I deserved that.
Yeah, but there's only so many times I can punch you, unfortunately.
Don't tell that to the others. They'll want a piece.
You know what? I like your lie. I've got a treat for you. Something that no one else will ever know. I want to teach you a special trick that I learned. And he goes in for another strike. 18, that hits. So I need you to roll me a con save.
Yes, all that con that I have. Wow, that was a 7.
Yeah, you're stunned. Is a strike out of nowhere, just goes straight into your chest with the hardest punch you have ever felt. And it knocks you to the floor, winding you. After about a minute, you start to get your breath back in, recover from what was a strike you've never seen before.
The fuck was that?
You see, in my younger days, I was lucky enough to meet a turtle, and he was kind enough to teach me a move that is normally kept as a turtle tradition, so I am one of the only few people to know it. But I think you've got the potential, and I think that you would appreciate learning this. I think it would suit you learning this. It's what we call a stunning strike. It takes practice. You've really got to channel your ki into just one strike. So it takes good practice, but once you master it, no one will recover from it. It's a trick that no one ever expects because it was lost with turtles. Turtles are the ones who made it up. But I mean, to be fair, their fists are the size of my body most of the time, so...
Has there ever been a turtle on this island?
No, there has not.
Maybe I'll meet one day.
Yeah. They're either really bouncy or really serious. It's...
I'm not sure I could handle bouncy.
No turtle is ever the same.
I mean, you've seen my patience for the younger acolytes. You think I could deal with a bouncy turtle?
Come on, let's see if you can try a stunning strike. Hit me again.
Life spends like a solid 10 seconds of looking at her hands like, how the fuck?
You need to focus it into one hard strike. Channel your ki into just one heavy strike. That's all it takes. That's all you need.
Guess it's just an attack roll?
Yeah. Let's add your... Maybe constitution check first. Actually, we'll call it wisdom. Just do straight wisdom for me.
Wisdom is 16.
Okay, so you channel your ki enough to successfully perform a stunning strike. What is your ki save, DC?
Ki save... I think it's based on wisdom, so 13.
Well, that's only an 8, so as he's still talking, you just yeet! Knocking him on the floor. And it does take him a good minute to recover.
Right, Chelio?
Yeah. Alright. That's good practice. Just try not to do that in front of the other humans. Or the other acolytes, or even the masters. I shouldn't be teaching you that, but I think you deserve to know it.
You should probably chain me to the wall again, shouldn't you?
Nah, you've been in here long enough. Listen, I know you're still sad and angry about what happened to your mother and your dad. We haven't been able to contact him. I've tried
to. Probably at the bottom of the ocean.
But while you're here, you need to understand that you can't just continue down this dark path you have been. You're just going to end up dead from it. Hurting these people that cross you, it's not worth it.
Can I try an insight to see how much he knows about what Eli's been getting up to?
Okay.
So at this point,
you would have had a plus two proficiency.
Yeah, at this point, Eli would have had three-ish victims, probably. So it's like, that's a dirty 20. Wow, my dice seek knowledge.
You're not sure that he knows just how many people have suffered yet, but you can tell he's not that far off working out what you actually get up to.
Yeah, I know. I don't think the monastery's path is a good one and it's a righteous one, but it's such a juxtaposition to me that it's taking longer than it would others, I guess.
Yes. Just keep on the right path, all right? I want you to succeed. I want you to do well. You've got more potential than any other acolyte here. But you need to keep a clean slate while you're here. Otherwise, it's just going to all be thrown away. And I do not want my favorite student to throw away everything she has.
Yeah.
Well, I does like the traditional bow you do to a master.
And don't tell the others I told you that you're my favorite. It would upset them a little bit.
Oh, they all know it anyway, but I won't.
Yeah. And as you start to walk out the room, your vision flashes to white. And then it starts to go red. And as your vision comes back to you, you're kneeling on the floor in front of the monastery. It's late at night, on fire. Two guards near the front entrance, cut up to absolute bits. Blood everywhere.
Eli is confused. What physical form am I in now?
You're your normal self. Your pale white self. With the
as
brand
I am
of
now.
Blood. Yeah.
Well, shit. Really should feel more for this, but I don't.
The guard's dead from a blade I recognize.
No, it's... As you look at these, it's odd. It's all but like it was done with a double-bladed sword. There's so many wounds that this is too fast for a single-bladed sword. Maybe two swords? Maybe a sword in either hand? Maybe a double-bladed sword? It's one of those two, just by looking at these wounds. Like, these guards did not have a chance.
Well, that's one way to end a religion. Honestly, Eli would turn her back and walk away. After her death at Cane Sand, she doesn't really have the emotional capacity for this anymore.
Okay, that's fair enough. I will say, as you walk away, you do hear gunshots from inside. So do you wish to continue walking away, or are you going to go inside? It's entirely up to you.
With the gunshots, I'll go inside. I don't care about the blade, it's the guns that pique my interest. And I swear to God, if a version of powder cake's in there, you and I are going to have a talk, Alex. Let him stay dead, damn it. X, go and give it to you.
Yeah. As you walk into the, monastery, you hear more gunshots. You see a naval soldier actually get thrown out of the room as he just yeet straight past you out the front door with a ridiculous amount of force.
All right.
Followed by the echo of what sounded all but telekinetic. You guessing that's what threw the guy?
Throwing people across rooms. That could be helpful.
And as you walk into the room, it's all but like there's just an invisible barrier in front of you. You see two bodies in front of you of two soldiers that both armed with rifles, both cut in half. That's what the gunshots were. And then you hear Lout, the human monk, shout as she runs across the room with a sword at a guy in black armor with a silver mask on. She swings at him, but he manages to duck under and just straight into her back with his sword as he lifts up, cutting her clean in half from the top. You see Cello manage to jump up and fire a sunbolt at him, knocking him off balance and knocking his sword out of his hand. But as he goes in for another strike, he seems to just teleport out of existence before reappearing behind him and pulling out his gun and putting a bullet into the back of him as you watch the dwarf collapse to the floor. There seems to be enough of a distraction though, as Constantine, the dragonborn monk, manages to grab him from behind and restrain him as you see Adam, your dad, run up and start punching this guy in the face multiple times. He goes in for a 6, 7, 8, 9, and as he goes in for a 10th punch, the guy in the mask screams as a shockwave shoots out from him, knocking Adam flying across the room and the dragonborn monk into the back wall. And as Constantine tries to recover, a blade comes out from the mask guy's arm and he sticks it straight into the dragon's head. Adam eventually gets up off of the floor. "You lay a fucking finger on her," as the mask soldier walks up to him. "I'm surprised you even broke out the mask. I don't wish to harm her. I just need some blood." As he just strikes him onto the head, knocking him out. Cello, who's managed to get back onto his front and managed to pull himself up against a pillar, breathing heavily as he starts bleeding from the back. "You know, dwarf, if you tell me where she's gone, you can live. Your wounds will be tended to. All you have to do is tell me where she's gone." The dwarf looks up. "I ain't telling you shit." And before he can finish the sentence, the masked soldier puts a bullet in his head. "Such a waste. All I wanted was a girl. Still, back to the search." And he starts walking your way. As he starts to get closer and closer. And as he reaches you, he just seems to walk straight through you, as if you're not there.
I don't like these staff-induced visions. Why can't I have a dream where I'm actually a cat or something? And I get to have a nap. That's the whole dream.
As you turn around to look away from the absolute mess behind you, you hear Cello's voice again as the gunshot goes off. And it gets louder and louder to the point where it's ear bleeding. And that's when you shoot awake, breathing heavily, covered in sweat.
Avoids punching Lauren.
I would say she's not actually in the room at the moment.
Thank God. Otherwise, I would have punched her by accident. I take it I see the note now.
Yeah, as you look around the room, just grabbing the water at the side of your bed, you do spot the note in the corner of your eye under the doorway.
He knows he could have knocked, right? I say to no one.
could have just knocked. As long as you don't burst in and try and shoot me with a shotgun, we're fine. Picasso needs my guidance. What is this? Some guru? What? Fine. Clearly not going to get any more rest. I'd probably, like, grab my weapons, which I always keep next to the bed. I do have a knife under my pillow at all times. Just in case someone comes in and takes my weapons, I still have a knife.
That's fitting.
Though I don't really need a knife to kill them anyway, but you know.
Yeah, grabbing your weapons, you head out the door.
Yep, I'm gonna go find Picasso, because I'd rather ask him directly than deal with whatever the hell Reed will tell me.
About an hour and a half has passed since you sat down on your bed, Picasso. Are you still there, or have you moved on?
No, Picasso hasn't moved. He hasn't gone back to sleep, though, either. He's just kind of... He stopped reading the note after a while, as it didn't really fully calm him down. And at this point, he's just retreated into his shell. So it's just a big, giant shell on his bed.
Yeah, you walk into Ran, Picasso, and Bert's room and just see a giant shell on the bed.
Lie on knock, because that's what you do in polite society.
Furry bro, what was that noise?
Eh?
There was a banging against the door.
Old knocking, Picasso.
Oh, it's angry bro. Angry bro, why didn't you just come in?
Because it's polite to knock to make sure people are like decent. I didn't know, maybe Ran was like in the middle of something important. Didn't want to interrupt.
All right, angry bro. And Picasso will come out of his shell at this point before sitting up on his bed.
Is Biff here, or is he at the wheel?
No, Bip's at the wheel at the moment.
Bip's at the wheel. Cool. I'll sit on Bip's bed then.
Yeah, Bip's bed is like 12 feet long. It's ridiculous. Okay. It goes against the back wall of the ship.
I kind of raised the note Reed left me, like, apparently you need my guidance?
Picasso looks at Eli and then re-explains the whole dream sequence to Eli at this point.
Huh. Was there like a white flash when it started?
Yeah, angry bro. There was a couple white flashes. There was a white flash when I woke up on Eunork, and then I was going to get some breakfast with Elder Turtle like I did in the past. And then there was another white flash. And then I was in that battle. And then right before I was about to get that guy, there was multiple white flashes, bro.
Okay, because I have similar dreams. It's not really... Honestly, I don't think it's dreams. I think it's some kind of visions. It's the staff.
But I haven't even touched the staff, angry bro.
Yeah, but you've been around me, and I've had the staff on my back whenever we've not been in the ship. It's bound to affect us. I've had several of these dreams by now.
Kasa just has kind of a look of confusion on his total face. He doesn't really get this. He's not magically inclined in the slightest.
It's not... When I say vision, I don't mean it's exactly what's going to happen. It's a possibility. It's a warning, more than anything.
You see Picasso's face. Now it had returned to its normal shade of green. It goes full, like, it looks like a vomit shade of yellow, almost, because it goes so pale, as you say the warning. But angry bro, you didn't look good, and furry bro and bastard bro died.
Look at it this way. Now that you've seen that and you know that that could happen, would you make the same decisions to get to that fight, to get to that point?
I don't know,
Angry Bro. I don't know what decisions we made, Angry Bro, to get there. I don't know, Angry Bro.
I honestly can't tell you that something like that won't happen, because I am living proof that something like that can happen. My entire existence. But it's better to know and be able to act against it than to not know and stumble into it unknowingly. I mean, I've had visions of things where I haven't physically been there for it. Like, there was no possible, it wasn't me. Like, people didn't see me. I was a witness. So it might just be, it's probably a warning. The staff's very good at showing us the future, you know, where we all die horribly due to the earth destroying itself or whatever.
Picasso will look, keep staring at Angry Bro for a minute before turning towards Furry Bro. You promised, remember? You promised me that if Angry Bro is right, then you have to promise that you won't do anything if we come against that dude, Furry Bro.
Takes Ran just a short while to pull her head out from underneath Gar. She's sort of been half listening, but not really. Ran is not doing anything. Ran is just here.
See, this is the most probably confused Picasso's ever you've seen him. He really does not know at all how to handle this information or what this warning could entail, but all you can keep thinking about is that final moment of charging at the Triton. That's just replaying over and over and over and over right after the crunch. That's all you can think about. So Picasso just kind of stares back at Ally for a second and back to Furry Bro, then back to Ally. I don't like this, Angry Bro. This isn't my purpose. I don't want this power, Angry Bro.
Just, if you have anything like this again, give me all the details and then just push it aside. I'll interpret them. You don't need to deal with that. It's like when Reed sends letters. You can be the bird that goes in between. You're not the sender or the receiver. You're just the midpoint.
Picasso just kind of gulps and just gives a nod before laying back down on his bed and going back into his shell.
I promise I won't let Ran turn you into a hat.
No response from Picasso. Just in his shell now. This time in the awkward position of being on his back. So, like, it's full on, like, this is not how a turtle would ever lay, as it's just the soft underbelly is exposed. But he's very freaked out, so.
Eli will kind of look at Ran on the way out, like, you need to punch something, or are you good?
Ran doesn't know. And she sticks her head back under Gar once more.
Well, come find me if you want to punch something. I promise no emotional talks about feelings.
She sticks her hand out and does a thumbs up. Thank it.
Ally leaves.
Okay, so where's Ally off to?
Probably the wheel. I'll relieve it for a bit.
Yeah, as you... Reed, as you're walking around the deck watching everyone work, knowing that you're a bit too small to work, so you just have to sort of look and go, good job, sir. You see Ally come up from the deck below onto the main deck,
Ah, Ally, did you find Picasso?
Yes, your note was very vague. You could have just knocked.
I try not to disturb you in general.
You mean after you tried to kill me?
Well, yes, but it also in general. I've learned to respect, and I didn't want to disturb you because I don't know how long you've been resting for. You may have just literally put your head down. So I wanted to be respectful. That's why I figured when you were available to read rambling at this point and read trying to be sincere.
I talked to Picasso. Carry on with your life. Cool.
Okay, cool.
If you have any of those kind of dreams, come tell me. Got it?
No, I haven't had any of those sort of dreams, but I've got this mark on my neck now, out of nowhere. Like a hazy moment. And when I woke up, I had this like brand on my neck.
Well, it doesn't look like my brand, so can't help you. You've probably pissed off a patron somewhere.
Well, let's hope that whoever it is isn't a dick.
I highly doubt that.
Yes, I do too, but you never know. I might have got lucky somewhere. In any case, when Picasso was rambling and shaking me like a rag doll, he mentioned me and Ran, but he didn't mention you.
That's because in his dream, you two were dead, and I wasn't. I was nearly dead, but not quite. Prophetic visions happen. They're kind of a...
Does it mean we can change it or not?
If you believe what those at my monastery said, yes, they are... They're meant to be intended as guidance, rather than absolutes.
Right.
But, you know, they also worship the sun, so who knows?
This is a good point, I suppose.
They're also probably all dead.
Possibly. In any case, Bib lad.
Yes.
How long do we reach destination?
5 weeks.
If Picasso keeps having those sort of dreams of 5 weeks, this could be a long bit of a voyage.
Be a long voyage in general if you keep talking to me. Bib, I'll take this shift. You go have a break.
Okay.
I forget that's what his voice is, so I've got to do that every time.
Yay!
It's really no! Kind
of fun. Slender Man!
That was the entire reason why I did it, yes.
Yay!
He proceeds down to his bunk.
Proceed!
Well, I'll take the wheel and glare at the horizon as per usual.
Yeah, you're glaring at the horizon at the wrong time. It's just at the point where the sun is directly in front of you. So it just.
I glare at the sun to establish dominance.
So the sun just burns your eyes for the next 4 hours.
And I don't need eyes.
As Reed, heads back to his cabin, he starts playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on his pan flute.
Yeah, resists urge to launch an eldritch blast at him.
Yeah, from the holes in the hole, like slit holes in the deck down below into Reed's quarters, you can hear Twinkle Twinkle Little Star quite badly from a flute. And with that, we have one of those magical things known as time skips, where you fast forward 6 weeks. It goes as if like any Assassin's Creed rest, it goes up into the sky, you see the sun go up and down multiple times, and then it goes back down to the ship. In the distance, there is a small island approaching. Ally, are you at the wheel or is Bib at the wheel at this point? Okay, yeah. As you sail along this island, no more than maybe 2,000 foot away, you hear from the crow's nest, "We might want to dock. The water's getting a bit low down here."
Fine. Park the boat.
Yeah. So you park the boat.
Beep, beep, beep.
So you park the boat as it starts to get a bit more shallow and the anchor's dropped.
I park next to the bright yellow coral. Everyone remember where we parked?
A seagull flies over just to make sure there's no double yellow corals.
It's one yellow, you bird.
And he flies off. And you have reached the Colt's Island. After 6 long weeks of sailing. It was technically 5 from the island, but the whole journey was 6.
I've written in my notes, woo, Colt Island.
Colt Island, the place where all the fun goes down.
Yay!
No under 18s on this island, it states.
Saucy.
I'm gonna need a fake ID, bros.
Vara takes a human guest. And Ran is literally 12, so she can't go on the island.
Ah, shit. Well, we don't know how old Reed is in goblin years, so it might just be a lie.
In terms of goblin years, probably less than a year.
I meant like if you put your halfling age into goblin terms, whether you're still a child as a goblin.
Well, Reed's nearly 100, so.
He's 102. That's what you're talking
really? About. You act like you're not.
Goblins live 60 years.
You act younger than a lie, and a lie is 24.
Mm-hmm.
25 by this point.
It's older, didn't grow up, though.
All right, Peter Pan. Let me just throw you in the sea. Guess I'll ring a bell and be like, land ho, bitches.
Oh, the four of you, the three of you hear the bell. The bell go. I'm getting my words so mixed up today, so I apologize.
It's just a lie aggressively ringing a bell.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
A lie, can you...
No.
At least it's slower.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm nothing if not a massive troll. Also, you know, the bottom of the ship's quite far down. You have to ring it quite loud for people to hear it.
It's fair. Right. Is it just the four? Is it just the four of us disembarking?
Warren?
I'm still down in the room.
Yeah, come here. We have to wait for them as well. Where is my girlfriend? Where did I put her?
You look around, she's not on the deck.
She's probably in the map room. Probably accounts. Go find my girlfriend whilst we wait for the others to come help.
Yeah.
Just in the deck, not like in general.
Just to double check, you hear ding 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 from the bottom deck, and it stops, and then ding 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 ding. Signaling that Aloy's probably got the bell again.
Picasso hasn't really done anything these past 6 weeks. No one's really seen much Picasso, except for Furry Bro. He hasn't really left bed much. Just been freaking out. And drawing pictures over and over of the Triton that he saw. It's just all I've been doing. Alright, hearing the bell. Furry Bro. I don't know if I feel like getting off the ship, Furry Bro.
Yes, Ran is feeling the same. There's probably a Ran-shaped dent where she's basically been laying for the past 6 weeks.
Think they're gonna make us?
Probably.
He just twirling his shotgun on the deck, waiting.
Ah, I can almost hear a small bastard man twirling something.
Remember your promise, Furry Bro.
Yes, Ran is promising to Picasso.
Alright, I guess we might as well get it over with, bro. And like a child on the first day of school, Picasso will begrudgingly swing his legs off of the bed and begin to wait for Furry Bro, but then make his way up to the deck.
Ran rolls off the bed onto the floor and then rolls to the door.
Ack yourself.
As he goes
rolls up the stairs.
Reed, make me a dex save.
I mean, feasibly, Ran is probably strong enough to roll herself up the stairs.
Lai's just looking for Lauren and just sees Ran go past, like, dun 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 dun.
Ran is not wanting to work.
Yeah.
26.
Okay. You realize you're swinging your shotgun a little too close and just managed to duck out of the way as it whoosh straight past your face as you almost ended up with a shotgun in your eye.
Oof. Okay, we'll do that. Throw my shotgun away and await the rest of my companions.
Yeah. Allow you walk into Lauren's room, and she appears to be brewing potions? With a small alchemy table in the corner.
You selling drugs, hon?
No, healing potions.
We're at the island. I wanted to check if you wanted to come or not, because I know you have a weird... You're on weird terms with them, so...
I don't know. I mean... It would help, because none of you can do magic properly, to be fair, but... I don't know.
I'm not going to put... I'm not going to make a choice for you, but I'm not going to put you in danger for no reason, so... Entirely up to you. But I thought I'd ask before, I don't know, Reed exists.
I'm sorry, I'm not ready for it.
It's fine. I'll leave the staff in your capable hands then.
That might be a good idea, because they did used to run up from this island, so who knows what's there.
They're probably... I know they want a hold of it anyway, so...
Yeah, we'll protect it. Oh! I made these, just in case you need them. And she hands you 3 vials of potions of greater healing.
Oh, nice.
I only had the time to make 3, but hopefully you won't need them.
Hopefully I won't need them. If not, Picasso will probably need all of them, because I don't know, he'll try and fight a volcano or something.
It wouldn't surprise
me. Seems like something he'd do.
Yeah, would not surprise me. Just be careful out there, alright?
Always am. You're in charge whilst we're all off ship, because technically you're the highest ranking person when we're all off ship, so...
Ah, I'll boss him around correctly.
They're used to it. Your potion's gonna bubble over there, hun.
Oh shit. She runs back to
Bye!
Stay safe!
Don't blow up the ship!
You just hear a...
What did I say? I'll merge at the top, having put the potions away, because I don't want Reed being like, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, you walk out onto the deck where Reed, Ran, and Picasso wait for you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Picasso gets a disheartening wave.
Ran's still on the floor.
Are you two okay?
The phrase is no.
No.
No, bastard, bro. No.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe the cult will have something on AJ. Maybe we can murder him.
Maybe he's even here. You never know.
But let's not go into how many people might be here, Reed.
Fair. Just think we could probably kill a few birds with one stone or so.
What a weird sentence.
Mm.
Leave the birds alone, you maniac.
To be fair, sometimes you've got to get your raven out the snow, it won't land, so...
A seagull and both a seagull and a raven death glare you before flying over.
Knock the rock out of Reed's hand before he gets...
I wasn't actually holding a rock.
I was like...
In any case, the sooner we do this, the sooner we can get back on the boat.
Plus, you know, the queen, pirate queen, wants this, so...
Yeah. Right. Come on then, guys. Let's go.
I'm gonna get in a rowing boat like a civilized person. So I could just jump into the sea, but...
Casso just walks off the edge of the boat. Doesn't do his normal dive, just the general, there's a piece of the, like, railing that's been removed for Picasso, where he usually jumps off, but just, it's a very disheartened, just kind of just walks off the side of the ship.
As he hits the wall. And you lower yourself into the sea in your rowing boat. Because you're still a good 2,000 feet off the island.
Hey. Who's rowing this anyway? I'm not sure Reed can... Reed can do some rowing, but he can't do all the rowing.
I guess Ran and Lyle do the rowing whilst the captain sits there and does nothing.
Make Reed do work. He does too little work. Ran jumps into the sea.
Don't leave me with him, Ran!
Ran will give you a piggyback, then.
No, he'll drown if I don't help him. Keep an eye on Picasso. We'll see you on the beach. Or the landing, or whatever the side is.
Okay. Reed will take one oar and start to row.
Eli takes the oar away from Reed, because Eli doesn't want to go in circles.
Reed is assuming you get the other oar, but okay.
No, because what's going to happen is Eli's going to row properly. You're going to baby row, and we're just going to go in circles.
Fair enough. Okay.
That's how momentum works. I row.
Yeah. Just maybe an athletics check.
Oh no, athletics. How will I cope? 21.
Yeah. You're not quite as fast as Ran and Picasso, who Ran seems to, from her storm aura, seems to have developed quite a good swimming speed. And Picasso's obviously, being a turtle, swimming is a daily activity for him all, but so he just charges on.
I look more like an alligator snapping turtle right now, because I'm just floating along the top. So all you can see is my spiky shell.
And all, as you all eventually make it to the edge of the beach, where you pull the boat on so it doesn't wash away.
All right, Reed, get out.
Reed hops ashore.
Yeah. Looking around, you see the beachfront and a massive forest in front of you that seems to envelop the first half of the journey. You do notice, being this far up north, how just ridiculously humid it is compared to the south. The south is, for example, it's reversed poles in this world. So the south is cold, the north is humid. It's a lot hotter in the north.
Well, this isn't really uncomfortable at all, is it?
It's Ran's fur all poofy.
Ran, you do notice it's extremely hot here. Like, they're going to start regretting wearing coats in a minute. Reed, definitely, because I know he wears a coat and a big captain's hat. And
I cast Prestidigitation on my clothing to make it, to chill it.
I'm pretty sure that's not
how it works, but it actually is. I can chill 1 cubic foot of non-living material for an hour.
It's a cantrip, so yeah, it'll only last an hour and then go like that.
I can spam it every hour, so it's fine.
I might make you roll a con save then in a minute.
Okay, we'll see how the hour goes.
I will point out that as your sweat slowly like builds up and things, you're just going to be like chilling your sweat on your skin, and that's gross.
As you walk through this forest, you will sort of get a bit sweaty. Reed starts to absolutely stink as the sweat builds up, getting cold and then hot and cold and then hot. Reed, Ran, you having the best sense of smell, Reed stinks at this point. As you walk through this rainforest.
Ran doesn't really care enough at this point to say anything, but you can see the disgust on the way she's scrunching up her nose a bit.
Yeah, every like couple minutes, Ran sort of like winces and ruffles her nose. As you know, she's got a crack into the smell, and she can probably smell what's in front of her, being the 3-foot halfling who is just walking along normally, like nothing's wrong.
Actually, damn, I changed my mind. Can I pick up Reed and drag him through some nearby flowers or something to try and disguise the smell?
Yeah, just, you know, you don't need to roll me out because you're a barbarian. You're like 4 feet taller than him. So you just pick him up and just yeet him into the closest bunch of flowers.
What the hell? Ass!
You smell like absolute ass.
I cast Prestidigitation on myself. I can have 3 effects at the same time active, Alex, so... Second one to remove that smell.
Look at me, I can have 3 effects at the same time.
Okay, as this...
Wow!
As this journey goes on...
Okay.
Eli stopped breathing about an hour into the journey.
As the journey carries on, Eli and Picasso make me a wisdom saving throw, and Reed make me a constitution saving throw.
I'm going to roll for Ran just because I feel left out.
Yeah. Roll me a constitution save with advantage, Ran.
Wisdom is an 11.
16.
9. Reed, you take 1 level of exhaustion through, like, 5 straight hours of spell abuse as you keep activating spells on and on for the last 5 hours.
That's fair. That's fair.
Ram, what was your roll?
19 plus 6. Yeah. 25.
This place is ridiculously humid. A lot more humid than the plantation you worked on. And having now thicker fur, you really do feel the heat, but you do manage to just power through it. Alai and Picasso, for a minute, it feels like a hand just grabs the back of your neck on both of you. But nothing's there when you turn around. Picasso, you take 3 points of psychic damage if you didn't beat the DC. Is it feels like the hand grabs you from behind and starts squeezing as the back of your neck gets really chilled.
Angry bro!
Casso?
Casso's just stopped and he's like spinning in place, like looking around.
Casso, what's wrong?
Angry bro, something happened, angry bro.
Did something just grab your neck?
You can see that Picasso has both of his hands on the back of his neck right now. And he just shakes his head.
Okay, that happened to me as well. Fuck. Okay.
Like, your neck's a little cold, but... Picasso, the back of your neck feels like you've just been laying on ice for the past hour. It's freezing.
Angry bro. I'm really cold all of a sudden, angry bro.
Okay, how about you take the front with Ran? That way, anything that comes up behind, I'll punch in the face.
Picasso just kind of... nods his head again before stomping towards the front of the line with Ran.
Reed has drawn his rapier and also his shotgun at the same time, one in each hand, basically, because something's clearly not good here.
Yeah. Yeah, not sure how much time's passed on as you continue down this pathway, but you eventually manage to get out of the forest and you find yourself in a small village that's slowly crumbled away and been overtaken by the greenery again. Is small cobblestone buildings and what's left of other buildings sit around here. It's just completely silent.
Oh, this is creepy.
My neck warmed up at all?
Yeah, it's been about an hour since then, so judging by where the sun is, so your necks, both of your necks are back to normal now.
Casso still has one hand on the back of his neck and hasn't removed it. And doesn't say anything, just kind of stands right next to Furry Bro.
Well, let's take a look around, I guess.
Okay, for those who want to look around, to roll me an investigation check. There's a heavy amount of rain outside.
Rain's outside? That's not this campaign.
23, Alex.
Yeah. It's very rainy outside. 23.
11.
11. Ram, Picasso, you guys interested or nah?
Investigation check from Picasso. He's only doing stuff if he's told to right now. He's kind of freaking out.
Man, you look over at Picasso, who still seems really out of it and just panicky over what happened back in the forest.
And doesn't have the language skills to portray what she's thinking. So she'll just put her hand on Picasso's shoulder.
Pat, pat.
Thanks, Furry Bro.
Ren is not understand what is happening with Picasso, but Ren is listen if Picasso want to talk.
Furry Bro, I don't understand what's going on with me right now, Furry Bro. I don't know, Furry Bro.
Ally is maybe known.
I hope so, Furry. I hope so, Furry Bro. I don't like this power, Furry Bro.
So this is not Picasso destiny?
I hope not, Furry Bro. I hope not. And I think at this point Picasso's just gonna sit down.
I don't know if Ran has the joint to do it, but Ran's going to do her best to loaf. No loaf.
Yeah, you become a gnoll loaf, and Picasso just thud, falls to the floor like an Animal Crossing character when they sit down. Just drops. On those rolls, Ali, as you walk around, you don't notice anything in the rubble of these buildings, but as you carry on walking down the right-hand side, you do look off into the distance, and you notice a hillside. And at the top of this hillside, about 30 feet up, appears to be a cave entrance. And read, as you're walking along through the village, nothing catches your eye until you see one building that appears to be in a lot better condition than the rest of them, hidden away behind a few trees. It all but looks like someone's still living here.
I quietly mentioned this to a lie.
It takes you a minute to find a lie, but you do spot her in the distance.
So I don't want to just shout and scream because, you know, clearly something's here. So Reed will seek out a lie and quietly mention it to her.
Wait, what?
There is a house which looks like someone is actually living here.
Okay. There's a cave entrance at the top of that hill over there as well. So house then cave, I guess?
I think house then cave is a good solution for sure.
I mean, do we want to get Picasso to break down the door?
I think he needs a good door breaking.
We'll go up to Picasso.
Yeah, if he can enjoy it.
Because they're probably onto us being here anyway, so I'm like, eh.
Yeah, you just see Picasso ran loafing around next to him, and Picasso sat down on the floor, legs out, hands behind his back, just leaning back.
Would it make either of you two slightly happier to break down a door?
Not bothering.
If we can go back to the ship faster, I'll go break a door down for you, angry bro.
Reed found a house. There might be someone living in it, so they might be able to give us some answers. But also, if they're with the cult, then it might be we open the door and they have, like, I don't know, a gun loaded. So, element of surprise, really. And there's nothing more surprising than you bursting through a door at high speed.
All right, angry bro. I suppose. You once again see kind of just to once again sat in Picasso, stand up. Well, I wasn't around for the first time a bit. This is not nearly as bad as Eli's death. This is more of a very just distraught Picasso.
Eli over... doesn't know how to deal with this. It's just like, break door down?
But yeah, and then... Sorry, bro, you probably come with us. We'll have to make sure Bastard Bro doesn't get hurt. You're pretty good at that.
The expression on Ran's face says what she thinks about that, but she'll guess up.
Thank you, Ran.
Dragging my feet, I will follow the lie to said house.
I will probably guide the way to the house.
It's only a small house. Looks like it's just a one-room building built from cobblestone. Nice oak door on the front. It's nothing much.
Is there a light on inside?
Not that you can see. Like, there's windows, but it's dark.
Take a step back, for I will just charge and go straight through the door.
Through the wall on the other side.
I'm not even going to make you roll for that, because you're charging 500-pound torture with, like, 45 foot of movement?
Just 40.
And plus 10 to athletics, so just about... 5 seconds later, smash! You hear as Picasso charges through, not only taking the door off, but taking chunks of the wall where the door was attached next to it. As you charge into this house, in the smell of fresh bread and other things like scents and perfumes capture your nose.
All right, bros. Anyone in here? Come out now. Stand with my two fists up.
Yeah, there's no response. As you look around the room, it's literally just one small place, tiny stove in the corner with a fresh loaf of bread that just smells like it's no more than maybe an hour old. Small little lounge in the corner opposite to it, and a bed on the other end of the wall with a bookcase. Someone lives here, and it doesn't look like they've been gone that long.
I'll turn back to the rest of the group. There's no one in here, bros. Then I'm gonna walk over to the kitchen and grab the loaf of bread.
Yeah, you just rip the loaf of bread out of the tin. Looks like they've made a nice loaf of brown seeded bread.
Reed heads in through the door as he sees Picasso bitterly desecrating a bakery, it feels like.
Yeah, just rip. You rip a big chunk off of the bread. It's, to be fair, the size of your hands, it's at least like one third of the bread in your hand.
I want to rip it perfectly in half. That's what I was going for.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah,
we'll see. All right, I'm going to walk back out of the house then, and I'm going to go give the other half to Furry Bro before sitting down next to Furry Bro. He can't eat my bread. Picasso did what he was asked to do.
Picasso just had a really feels like doing bread. Yeah, the two of you just see Picasso walk past you with a loaf of bread and like a massive chunk of bread in either hand and offer one to Furry Bro.
And we'll take the bread and stare at it.
I was going to say something about watching out for poison, but I guess it's too late now. Thanks, Picasso. Gotta go in and look around.
It doesn't taste poisonous.
Reed will start rummaging. Looking for any kind of desks or papers maybe around.
Yeah. This whoever lives here packs fairly light. Let me think. When you open one of the drawers, you see clothing very similar to what Riley would wear.
Lie.
Why are you looking through a stranger's underwear drawer?
Don't judge me for that.
I will judge you for that.
Okay, don't judge me for that thing. We've just used a turtle to break into someone's house.
You had no objections. Also, it made him happy.
Indeed. In any case, Riley's clothing.
Her clothing or similar to what she wears?
Well, it's almost the exact same wardrobe.
And that bread Picasso walked past with looked fairly fresh.
You know more about... I'm not saying you know a lot about Riley, but you know more than I do. Are they a skilled baker?
Why would I know that? You've had more of a conversation with her than I have.
Philip, out of character, does Reed... I just wanted to say that. But Reed actually would totally say that.
She's like, what the fuck?
I'm not sure if it actually is.
I don't know. The only way to tell that is one, if she were here, and two, if you could see her wearing it, or three, if you sniffed it and it smelled like her, you creep.
I'm talking about not the clothing, the baker.
I don't know if Riley's a good baker. Last time I spoke to her was in the volcano, when my father got thrown into a volcano.
Okay, so she was baking. Okay, fair enough.
I will bake you in a minute. I'm going to look at the bookcase.
Yeah. There's a lot of books, a lot of romance, a lot of history. On the bottom, you spot a book. And it's got a date on the front of it. The title is Till We Rise Again, and you look at the date in the corner. This book is like 1600 years old.
Oh, Riley is very old, isn't she? At least that's what Thea said. It was like that cult, and she was supposedly stabbed and yeeted off a cliff or something, and is fine.
Need to kill that vampire at some point.
Well, it's on the to-do list, along with, you know, killing AJ, overthrowing the entire cult, ending a war that's been going on for generations, apparently finding your family.
Yeah.
And finding whatever the hell Picasso's purpose is.
Regard to my family, like, I know you don't care.
No, I don't, but thank you.
But if you do help me find my family, then I will make sure that you are rewarded out of the inheritance I will get. Thank you.
I mean, thinking on how all of our lives have gone thus far, somehow I'll probably find them, I don't know, tied up next to my resurrected mother zombie. Somehow. Because that seems to be how my life goes at this point.
To be fair...
I vote we don't linger here long, because,
I would agree. Is there an upstairs, DM?
Having a look around, no, this looks like a single, just like a single,
level.
Yeah. Okay. You can make me investigation checks if you want to have a proper look round.
Yeah, 16, all in.
14.
That's both high enough. You look around the room, there's books, clothing, a bread tin that's been mangled by Picasso as he sort of bent the bottom and yanked the bread out. Some wine in the corner. And you do notice some jewellery on the top of the dresser, as well as a key. Like a key the size of your hand is a big old key.
Wink.
Yeah, you would have noticed the key as well, I lie.
I think we should take this with us.
Eli's already picked it up. What's the jewelry thing?
It's purely just like there's two rings on the side and a necklace with a big ruby in it.
Reed will have them.
Reed's stealing women's jewelry now, looking at their underwear.
I'm a pirate. Jewelry.
Really? I've never seen you do anything piratey up until now.
Pop in the first episode.
She's after that booty.
Reed, you take 13 points of radiant damage as you grab it, and a rune appears on the table as, like, radiant magic burns the first half of your arm.
13 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you didn't see that coming, so you can't have that. You would have seen that coming.
Uh-huh.
Now I see what he means about making sure I die this episode.
Yeah.
Not you just so about grab you not jewelry. Spamming evasion and sneak attack.
You just grab the jewelry, and it, as you try to pull it, it doesn't move as suddenly just a radiant light across half of your arm. Reed's got some sick scars on his arm now.
Ran's ear twitches because she's eavesdropping.
Ran, you can suddenly smell burnt skin.
Ah. Captain Bastard is being stupid again.
Eli, can you tell... Oh, fuck! That is magic. Can you tell where it comes from or not? Are you any good at that sort of stuff?
It's probably coming from the necklace because it belongs to her. It's probably just an anti-theft thing. Leave it alone. Despite, you know, dying and being resurrected by magic and making a pact, I'm not an expert. I know, like, four spells.
I was wondering more if you could, like, detect magic sort of thing or so.
No.
Okay.
I'm Baby Warlock.
Baby Warlock, okay.
I'm mainly here to punch and hit you with my giant sword.
Maybe you're right, then maybe we shouldn't linger. Oh, God, my head.
Lol. Eli leaves.
Reed will follow.
You follow, just trying to, like, rub your arm to try and mask the burning feeling that's now on it.
When Eli walks out, can Ran ask, why is Captain Bastard trying to cook himself?
We think Riley might have stayed here. He tried to take a necklace of hers. It fought back.
Today Oran is learning. Jewelry is fighting back.
Yeah, you see Reed walk
stealing
out.
Stealing is wrong, apparently, according to Jewelry.
You see Reed walk out, arms singed.
Ran sniffs it.
Yeah, it smells of burnt goblin.
Ew.
Basil's just eating his bread.
It's fantastic bread.
Apparently, okay, Riley's a good baker. There's your answer, Reed. Rather than asking me. You've spoken to her more than me.
This is fair.
Also, didn't you say she injected you?
Yeah, I know it's because of what Fan told me.
I don't know a Fan. Oh well.
They were all working for Thea.
I know a Ran.
Ran.
I mean, basically everyone works for Thea. They either work for Thea or they work for Rourke. That's how a war works.
That's true. Anyway.
Well, there's a cave at the top of the hill. Let's go in the cave. Come along, children. We'll see if Reed can burn any more parts of his body by taking things that don't belong to him.
Reed cocks his shotgun. Let's go.
Don't point that at me.
That wasn't pointing at you. Just
Vietnam
cocky.
Flashbacks.
I was just cocking it in general.
If it make Reed feel better, Ran will not burn him if he tried to touch Ran's things. Ran will bite.
Noted.
So, picture of Reed with a missing frontal lobe.
Get out of here, Scott Cawthon. This ain't your land.
Yeah, a couple of minutes later, you get to the top of this cliff face. You're going to need your climbing gear or some really good Picasso claws.
Or to be a monk.
And run straight.
How high is it, Alex?
About 30 feet up.
Okay.
Can Ran take a running jump and pull herself up?
Yeah, sure. Athletics check, Ran.
As always, just go full on gargoyles and just climb straight up the wall with that badass theme music in the background.
18 all in.
I love that music, by the way.
Yeah. You watch Ran get a run in. You watch Ran like step back, get onto all fours, and take a run as she leaps. It manages to pull herself like halfway at the wall before starting to dig her claws in. Her feet like move quite a bit, like trying to get grip, but she does eventually make it to the top as she pulls herself up the last stretch.
Is it a sheer cliff or is there a little handhold bit behind by Picasso now?
It's like basically 85, 90 degree angle as, and Picasso just, you got adamantine claws, you don't need to roll for it, just sticks his claws in and climbs up the wall.
Okay.
Leaving like little dots along the wall as he goes up.
Okay. I just climb up.
The question is, can Reed match Picasso's long ass arms and foot length for the how long each claw strike would be?
He'd have to jump in between.
I was about to say, or does he have to jump from handhold to handhold?
I have got my adventuring python, so I could actually climb up top if I wanted to. But
go on then.
So
Eli says as she walks up the wall.
Yeah, just roll me acrobatics, Eli.
My dice want it. 30-20.
Yeah. Eli just fucking runs on the wall practically. Gets
lol
like,
by
10 feet from the top and then just does a jump and grabs the top of the ledge and pulls herself up. So Reed,
do you
actually
have... Reed?
Ree, do you actually have climbing gear, or have you just decided it's in your inventory?
No, it is there. I'll show you, Alex. It is there.
All I can see is a white blur. It's the,
It says Python, which is obviously what you use as a space. I have two steel pipes I can put for climbing. I could okay. do... So can I use acrobatics?
Athletics. You're using your strength to push, stick him into the wall, and then you've got to pull him out and next one in, so athletics.
Okay, fine. Okay, that's still 19.
Okay, just because of your size, because of your strength, just make me a strength saving throw as you get close to the top.
You know I have negative strength, Alex.
I mean, you chose to climb the wall this way.
Nat 1 minus 1.
Zapato.
I'm not kidding, I had the nat 1 minus 1.
Yeah, Picasso, you see him stick his, what's the thing called again?
Python.
You see him stick his Python into the wall, but you realise very quickly that he hasn't quite stuck it in far enough, and as he starts pull himself out, you see it start to wobble. You doing anything, or are you just like...
I'll reach down and grab him by, like, the scruff of his back.
Yeah, literally, as you put it in, it snaps and you think shit as you start to fall, but because it just grabs you.
Thanks for the lift, bro.
Whew. Well, bastard, bro. Why don't you just ask me to pull you up?
I don't like to have to ask all the time. I like to try and do stuff for myself.
As I'm holding you at arm's length by the back of your gear.
But I do appreciate that. Now, could you please put me down carefully?
All right, bastard, bro. Well, set him down next to me on the ledge.
Yeah, so you just drop Reed down and Reed, you adjust yourself, put what's left of your unbroken Python back in your bag. You look down at the other one as it's snapped. A little bit of it's still in the wall 5 feet down.
That sucks.
Where did you buy these from?
I've had them for a while. I've never really used them before, though.
Have you not taken any care of your equipment?
To be fair, climbing-wise, we haven't had to do a lot of it, so I haven't maintained the climbing side of stuff. I will make sure that I am... I'll make sure I see the boatswain boys to get there and help them and throw a few extra coin in their way to actually make sure it's maintained on my behalf.
I have manacles in my bag that I take care of, even though I haven't had a chance to use them.
Okay. Another time you'll explain why you have manacles, because I don't know why you'd need them. But in the meantime, let's just continue.
It's called locking someone. It's called handcuffing someone to a chair or something whilst you make an escape.
I see. Let's move on, shall we?
I will say that Caitlin knew Ally wouldn't say it, but Caitlin really wanted to say, and Lauren likes them.
We were all thinking it in the back of our minds.
I wouldn't say it, but I'm like...
I've already given you inspiration to say.
Rely is canonically not into manacle play.
Glad we've established that.
Hey, you were about to say something, Kerry, but you were on mute. Yeah, as Eli finishes having a bollock in it, Reed, about looking after his equipment, you all look down the hallway at this steep ramp that goes down into darkness.
Being judged by Chad's cat.
Yeah, that cat's like, who would walk into the darkness, idiots?
Mortals.
I require more pets.
Wax the mic.
Yeah, it's the joys of having a cat.
Guess we're going into darkness. Woot woot.
You're not too sure how much time has passed as you walk through this, cave, but you eventually, after some time, get to a doorway that appears to be locked with a key.
I have a key, so I'm going to try and unlock it. But does someone else want to go in first? Because I can see fuck all in darkness. I have 20 foot.
Oh, and Matt angry bro, muted. I've just been following furry bro. I can't see anything more than a foot in front of my face right now, bro.
I can definitely see about 60 foot in front of me, but at the same time, if anybody needs to, I can make something faintly light up if we need a light source, but I'm guessing we don't want that right now.
Ran has 100 foot of dark vision.
Ran stares and seeing all.
Yeah, you look into Ran's eyes, which are even glowing a little bit, just like, it looks like a storm is going on in her eyes as she looks on ahead.
We're gonna unlock a door.
Ran, would you be happy taking the lead here?
Ran just shrugs, but she'll take the lead.
I'll be right behind you. That thing, that phrase everybody wants to hear. The goblin is following.
It does not bring Ran comfort.
It's probably lucky Reed can't see the face Ran pulls.
Yeah. As you unlock this door and push him open, somewhere in the distance, it's only faint, but it's loud enough to hear it, you hear a deep roar from something. It seems to just echo throughout the cave, so it sounds like it's behind you, but also in front of you.
Do you recognize the roar? Is it a distinctive kind of animal?
Is it a particular dragon we pissed off before?
It's not something you're familiar with.
Okay.
It's a roar that none of you heard, to be honest.
Okay.
I vote we don't piss off whatever that is.
Sound like it already is, to be fair, are I? But let's not make it worse, you're right.
Onwards.
Yep, so who's leading?
I think it. Bruh. If Rand's alright to lead, then Reed. I don't know if Picasso or Eli is at that.
Picasso can't see at all in the dark, so Eli will take the back.
Does Picasso not have dark vision? Bro.
I didn't realize Tortles didn't have dark vision.
Surprise, I learned.
I didn't have any up until death.
Oh, do you?
Death gives you dark vision.
Death gave me dark vision and also ragdoll mode.
Reed offers to guide Picasso by sitting on his shoulder.
Alright, bastard, bro. I pick up Reed and set him on my shoulder like a parrot.
Fair enough. Reed. Make sure that Picasso follows directly behind Ran.
Ran, you're the first to see this as you walk down this hallway and it starts to open up into a chasm. I will put this I apologize, this is a really basic drawing, but I'll explain the idea behind this. I'm sure people very quickly get what it means. As you walk into this hallway, there is a giant chasm in front of you, but across this chasm is two lines of six pillars to the other end, but both pillars all the way across have pressure plates on them.
I explain to Picasso what's in front of us and advise him to not climb onto them.
This room is light enough now that you
can
all do this. You're more in like a tomb than a cave now.
So are we like at the top of these pillars then? So like there's a large drop.
You're sat on one end of the you're sat on one side of the ledge and there's these two rows of six pillars that you got to jump across to get to the next one. and then at the end of these pillars is the other side, which you can see light from the other side. So you're guessing that's the exit, possibly? But you can all see, like, the little lip of the raised floor, so you can instantly tell these are pressure plates.
Anger, bro. Bastard, bro. What should we do here, bros? For a bro?
Those pressure plates. I've got a feeling that if we step on them, what, it'll either alert them or it'll trigger a trap, or both.
Genius as always, Reed.
Pressure plate bad.
He was elected captain for a reason.
Question for the DM. Can we see if there's any markings on these pressure plates?
You take a glance at them. They all look identical, to be honest.
Question for the DM. Did we ever hand over captain of the ship back to Reed, or is technically Rand still captain?
I mean, well, technically for the terms and conditions that Reed made up, it was for saving the Null, so it's up to you, but technically, well, it's up to you guys as a group, but technically Reed took the role of captain again. But
technically not, the captain in my heart. Technically not, because we didn't actually save the Nulls. Not in Rand's point of view.
So it's up to you guys. I'm letting you guys have that decision. That's not down to me, that's down to you guys.
It's asked to be a troll, honestly. Is there anything on the walls?
You can see the odd, like, holes in the wall that look like they would fire arrows, just looking at the walls. And they only seem to be in certain spots, though. Like, they don't line up to every pressure plate.
How high is the ceiling?
Ceiling is like a smooth domed shape.
Mm.
It goes like at least 100 foot above you.
100 foot above you. Okay. Height. Okay.
And exactly how far is this chasm?
In a rough guesstimate, I would say that's a great question. I didn't think of that. I don't actually know how jump in rules apply to anything. So let's see what we got. Technically, I would say it's a fair gap between, it's like 6 foot gaps between each stepping stone to the end. So basically 12 times six. Yeah, so we'll go about 78, about 80 foot this chasm is in width.
Okay.
FYI, jump rules in D&D. If you're making a long jump, you cover a number of feet up to your strength score. If you move at least 10, if you get a run up. If you make a standing long jump, you can go half that distance. So, like, I have strength of 18, so I can go 18 if I get a run up, and 9 if I just go from where I'm standing.
Yeah, it's about a, to put it exact, it's about 8-9 feet behind you. That's how much of a run-up you'd have.
So I can easily jump from platform to platform because they're about 6 foot apart.
Yeah, so you got about a 6 foot jump between each platform.
But Captain less strength might have more trouble.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, if I were to be meta about things, I've got 8 more strength.
Considers yeeting Captain across 80 foot chasm.
You could pass him from pillar to pillar. Or
throw him like a shopping bag.
Shopping bag.
Good.
Wait, you said that.
God.
Or Ren and I could each grab one arm and one leg and give a good old 1, 2, 3.
Like a sack of flour.
I'm not entirely comfortable about this.
I just jump onto the first one to see what happens. Cause...
Yeah. So you're going left? Are you jumping onto the first left one or the right-hand side one?
How are the holes lined up? Like you said they weren't in line with every pressure plate, but...
No, just make me an investigation check, because there is a curvature in the wall.
15.
It's quite hard to judge because of the curvature and the distance it is, but it looks like it's all but angled to shoot. Rather than shooting straight out and across to go straight along the chasm, it's all but like it's angled and does the width of the chasm rather than go in from straight from one end to the other. You can sense a bit of magic here.
Weird.
Read your magic link clone, so you can probably tell that magic is in play here.
Something's... There is... I can feel it, I'm not sure... I don't know what kind of magic it is, though. It's not good magic, obviously.
Before I jump, can I use Unseen Servant and give it, like, I don't know, a spare, like, wetting stone or something that I have in, a spare whetstone or something I have in my bag, and get it to, like, put weight on what on the left one?
How heavy is an Unseen Servant?
They're technically shapeless, so it's literally just whatever I give it.
Stickman Sam
is literally, I give him like a bag of rocks. I'm like, go stand over there.
Okay, yeah. Oh, let's see. I just want to double check something. Does he have a strength score?
2.
2.
AC of 10, strength of 2.
He's a weak boy. Can you just make me a strength check with him?
Ah, yes. Minus 4.
It's not a very high DC, but...
He gets a 10.
He just hits it then. It literally was a 10 that he had to beat. So you see the bag of rocks go down for a second and back up, and they're shaking violently.
I'm very proud of you, Sam.
Silence.
Because he's like, yeah, he's shapeless, so he doesn't have to like jump across gaps, he just kind of exists across gaps.
Yep, so you send him down the left or the right?
I'll send him down the left because I'm nothing if not methodical.
So as he jumps on to the first left platform, you hear a ka-ch noise. And the entire platform collapses from under him.
Well.
It's not good, obviously.
Not really, but hey-o.
Is he gone?
He floats, doesn't he?
He does, so he's just kind of there.
So technically, he's gone, but he's floating.
The rocks are gone. He's not.
So the rocks are gone.
Yeah, because that would have been what's causing the weight, and I can say without rolling that he wouldn't do a strength save to get it.
So he wouldn't be heavy enough to set off the others.
Not on his own. So I'm like, come here, Sam.
You just hear a siren floating back.
You'll just see a slight shimmer next to a lie. Okay, don't go down the left one. Well, at least not that one.
Yeah, that the first left's gone completely now. As it collapses down into the chasm.
I'm assuming we can go on the right one then.
How heavy was the rocks, Eli?
Less heavy than any of us.
No, I'm just wondering, because one of if maybe we've got, if got anything else which we could recall if we need to, sort of thing.
Is there any like debris around this place that I can just put in like another little thing for Sam?
No, this place is clean as fuck. It's purely down to what you have laying around.
Because I can always do this. I pull out my hempen rope. This is about £10 away.
True.
And I can always use my mage hand to retrieve it if it falls. I give it to you because I can't see the stick man.
Wait, if you can use your mage hand, why don't you just use your mage hand to put it on the platform?
I could do the first one, yes, but after that, it's a bit out of range sort of thing.
Well, test the right one with your mage hand because it should be fine. If not, you can see off the edge to pick it up. So
I use mage hand to place my hempen rope on the right-hand pillar.
As you put it on the right-hand pillar, the prototype goes down. It makes a click noise, but nothing happens.
First one, good. I think I can see 30 feet of range, so I can get maybe about.
Hop onto the right platform.
Okay.
Yeah. You can roughly do about two more read before it's out of range.
Okay, I will move it to the next one on the right.
Next one on the right. It goes down and nothing happens.
Okay. I'm going to test one on the left anyway.
As you press the one on the left, a bolt comes flying past. Look, because you're lucky enough that like you're on the first one back, as you see one, the second one, just a bolt that's like covered in blue electricity just goes and sticks into the wall before the magic fades on it.
Well, I test it just in case something happens and we have to make a quick getaway, not to use that one. Okay.
Can I give Sam, because it's a concentration ritual, so I have him for an hour if I can focus. I'll give him, I have some wooden stakes in my bag. So I'm going to give him one of those. Okay. Be like, go to the platform in front.
So he steps on. So which one is he stepping onto? The right or the
left? So right three. I've right. drawn this like a chessboard.
Yeah. As he steps onto the next one in front of him, the pressure plate gets pushed down. And then it seems to just glow orange. And suddenly fire just envelops the entire pillar that he was standing on.
Well, bye, Sam. He has one hit point, so
yeah,
he's hi.
That would have been 10d10 fire damage, so he's fucked.
Yeah, he gone.
Yeah, but that sets off another pressure plate.
So 10d10 fire damage.
Yeah, I'm sure I know what spell that is as well, so I'm like, lol. Oof.
And he chose that intentionally. He didn't make a mistake like I did.
Called puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so currently Eli is on the first pillar on the right hand side, and the three of you are still on the ledge.
I'm able to test the left hand side, so I do test the left hand side. From where I am on the bank still.
On the
left
third,
three.
Left three.
I thought you meant left one, because I'm like, that's already gone.
No, sorry. The left.
Let me just test this air.
Left three, yeah.
As you touch that one, it goes down, nothing happens, but you notice the fingers of the mage hand start to fade, and you feel the spell weaken.
Yeah, I'm out of range for that now, so I leave the rope on there, and cancel mage hand. I can always resummon it as I need to. Picasso.
God master, bro.
Would you... How good's your aim?
Oh, pretty good, bastard, bro. Why you ask?
Can you... I think the phrase is yeet me onto the pillar that's got my rope on it.
Maybe just go one at a time, I shout from where I am.
I've got to get... I can't. I can't jump.
Get him to throw you one at a time, you dingus!
Could do that, yeah. Is it too late for that now? Picasso just doing, or
I look at Ran and I go, bro, remember when we were in the market the other day and they were tossing those big old fish around?
Yes,
I think we could do that with Bastard, bro.
He's worth a try.
With that. Picasso is going to give a smile towards Bastard Bro before running off, and he's going to hop over onto the first platform where Eli is currently.
It just ground shakes a little bit as the pillar is, you're basically pushing right onto the ledge of this pillar because he's on that wide, and Picasso is a big boy and he has reed in his hand.
Oh no, I don't have reed yet. I'm waiting to have the reed
thrown to me.
I jump to the next platform because I don't want to be here when this happens.
I pick up Reed like a sack of spuds and one, two, three, yeet him to Picasso.
Three!
I catch Reed.
Yeah, you just catch Reed.
Aye, furry bro. And I hold Reed up in the air above my head and I move to the edge of the pillar. Alright, furry bro, you're gonna have to jump on here and go by me.
I will jump, and...
I'll dig my claws into the pillar as well to make sure I'm quite stable.
Ran, we'll get a move on then. Jump.
Benefit of the time, Caitlin looks extremely pissed off.
On stable pillars that we haven't finished checking yet. Yeah, let's just yeet a halfling and have...
Well, the other option is he falls to his death.
Honestly, I'd prefer that.
Right here!
I know!
Talking about you, not to you.
Sip.
Okay.
Yeah, so Ran, you hop the first two pillars on the right-hand side and land next to Eli.
Hi!
Yes, Ran is open. Throw Captain Bastard.
Okay, wait a sec, I jump to the left third one.
Yeah, you jump onto the left
third one. I'm like, nope!
Alright. You ready, Bastard, bro?
I guess.
Eins! Zwei! Drei! And I will toss Bastard, bro.
With a yeet, Reed goes spinning and
yeet the halfling.
Yeah, you catch him. You catch him like an American football.
Ran pretends to nearly drop him just to be a dick.
Reed, you just peer over the edge of this chasm that you can't see the to the bottom of before being hoisted back up.
I think I'm gonna vom.
Yeah, Ran holds him.
He just hold him over the edge one hand on his foot as he hangs upside down.
Before they do anything else, can I just... I realise these things are like 6 foot apart, so I could just throw things.
There you could.
Like, if we can throw a halfling, I could just throw my belongings to check the...
My rope's there when I use it.
I throw another one of my wooden stakes because I have three and one of them got set on fire, and it's not like I'm murdering any vampires right now, so.
Yeah, which one are you throwing it to?
I'll throw it left four just for sequential.
Yeah, as you throw it onto the left four, lightning light channels up of it and just electrocutes the top of it.
Well. And I'll do the same for the right hand one with my soul stake.
Yeah, with a nothing happens.
Cool. I hop to the fourth one. I'm like, okay, carry on.
Reed, make me a con save at disadvantage.
See if Reed vomits.
Constitution saving throw. At disadvantage with exhaustion.
Yes. I forgot you had exhaustion.
So I'm rolling 3d20 and taking a lower score. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got 2 nat 20s. 14.
Yeah, a good chunk of vomit comes out of Reed's mouth. And because he's upside down, it goes up his across your face. I'm sorry, Reed, but you're upside down. And it just goes up your nose, across your face, onto the edge of your hat, which just hangs on.
Yeah.
No, you can smell it sick as it's up your nose, and Ran shakes you violently, so it goes further up.
He's trying to shake the sick off of him. Okay.
Don't bruh, shake a sick person.
There's bits already in.
Stop it!
Eli considers yeeting themselves into the chasm.
Eli just falls for 45 minutes straight.
No.
All right, for it, bro. I'm gonna go buy ya.
Ran kind of braces herself on the edge of the platform.
And I'll do it full, like, I'll even go quasi to, like, the side. I'll try and just land on, like, the side of it so I don't knock Ran off at all. Once again, full-on gargoyle style.
Yeah, just make me an athletics check.
Got it, Ace. That's a 19.
Yeah, you stick your claws into the pillar as it shakes below you, Ran. As he sticks onto the side of it.
And then, like Spider-Man, I would like to push myself off and go to the next pillar.
Yeah, we won't make you roll for that one. As you stick your claws in the wing climb onto the top of it.
All right, furry bro, I'm open.
Yeah, Picasso should watch out. Captain Bastard Man is smelly now.
All right, furry bro. I hold, like, I kind of put my hands out straight so I can catch him as far away from me as possible.
Yeah.
I'm frozen.
Yeah, the smell hits you as you catch him. I was just vomit.
It's like breakfast.
Oh, bruh. Not cool, bruh. Party foul.
I didn't want to do it. It just sort of happened. I'm sorry.
Angry, bro. Hurry up. I don't want him near me anymore.
Fine. I'm a pillar ahead of you all. Just like, what the fuck is happening back there?
Can you smell the bomb yet?
I'm not breathing right now.
Oh, yeah, of course, I don't need breathers, do I?
Wait, why don't we all just hold our breath?
Only Reed needs to breathe. Suck it.
Yeah, I begin to hold my breath because I can do it for an hour.
I can, can't remember how long I can do it for, but it's a while.
Don't need to breathe if you're dead. Okay, I'm going to do the same with 5 right, because I have the stake that just landed on the pressure plate and was fine, so I'll just eat that.
Yeah, as you throw it onto that one, it just is enveloped in fire again.
Oh. So don't go that one. What do I have? Oh, I have flasks of... Why do I have a flask of holy water?
Fucking the vampires, fuck? Man.
I guess it's religious monk, but like, my dude. I mean, I don't need to sleep anymore, so I'll just yeet my bedroll. That's heavy enough. I'll yeet my bedroll.
What, are you yeeting it onto number 5?
The left
five?
One.
Number 5 left. I don't, it just rolls off the side and falls into the chasm.
I'm going to go over there to get away from the stench of sick.
It takes about 20 seconds before you hear a massive bang that hits the ground.
Cool.
And you yeet yourself onto the green. On the 5th left. What are you guys up to back here?
What do you think's going on?
All right, bro. I'm in position for you to move by me.
Goblin tossing.
Ran crouches on all fours before jumping and try and stick to the edge of the platform.
Yeah,
she's not wide, but she is 7 foot tall, so takes up enough.
Boing, and then another boing. You make it on the pillar that Eli was at.
Yes. Throw me smelly small man.
Aye, aye, furry bro. And this time I'm going to put my hand like right on Reed's ass and I'm just going to shot put him.
with just a tight grip on your ass. He just eats you.
Rand catches him like Dirty Dancing lift style.
Lai turns around, sees this bullshit still going on, turns back around.
A lie.
This is the tobogganing down the stairs all over again.
You've broken.
So every adventure in Pirate Land is just a lie turns around. Weird bullshit with these three turns back.
Solving issues in the most random Picasso way possible.
I have needed this. I have needed it today. Brilliant.
I guess I'm going to do the same with six. Six left. I chuck a steel mirror because apparently I have one of those. This is just what weird shit Caitlin has in their inventory.
What? How big is it?
It's steel, so it weighs like... It actually weighs a pound.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Why am I carrying this?
It weighs the same as a bag of sugar. Put it in that terms.
Yeah, but a lie is pure salt. Or a pound bag of flour. Or a pound bag of feathers. Anything that's a bag of it a pound would weigh the same as that pound.
We don't.
He makes a valid point.
He does make a valid point. You don't tend to get... But in fairness, it's a lot of weight for a mirror. Yes, you're right.
It's not... You didn't expect a lie to carry a mirror around, but here we are.
Can you see your reflection in it or not?
Yes, because I'm not a vampire.
No, you're dead.
I'm a reborn.
Yeah.
I'm like Avery.
What the fuck's an Avery?
Does the mirror do anything on the left pillar?
Yeah. As if they built it just to be a dick, as you throw it onto it, it doesn't seem to be enough weight.
Okay, I throw a flask of oil with it as well, for fun.
Okay, as you throw a flask
That's another oil, pound.
It starts to just... Like it needs a bit more weight.
I chuck a torch. It's not lit before you go on
does
that.
Does it say how much it weighs?
It's a pound.
Okay, I'll say that's enough.
3 pounds. We'll say the hempen rope is 0.2 pounds.
True, but then again, Reed was also the one to throw it, so I don't think it would have reached this point. Because he didn't state that anyone else. He didn't give it to anyone else, so... Assuming that Reed threw it, it wouldn't have gone that far because, you know, minus strength. So as you put this last item on, it seems to just click. And the pillar seems to just freeze completely. Freezing everything under a thick layer of ice.
Well, don't go that side. Let's see, what can Caitlin throw at the right-hand side? You know what, because I mentioned them earlier, I yeet my manacles. They weigh 6 pounds.
There's a massive... This is the, it pushes the, pressure plate down instantly, and nothing happens.
I'm going that way, and then I guess to the side.
Yep, so you jump
to, like,
on...
the other side of the chasm.
Yeah, so you jump on to that pillar and then you jump on to finally normal ground as you reach the end of the steps.
I back away from the edge just so that if I get a halfling yeeted at me, I don't get bowled over.
I think we're still a few steps behind.
Ran, you're about 36 feet, roughly, is your distance. So up to you, whether you want to yeet, read 36 foot.
That was not a suggestion.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just giving Ran her options.
Ran, no.
Yeah. He's little tempting, Ran will admit.
But Ran will hold her arms up to have Reed yeeted at her again. Oh, no, wait, has she got Reed?
Yep,
yeah.
Okay. Reed falls off then.
Falls off.
Reed, I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw. The DC is 25, and if you fail it, you take 120 d8 damage.
I lost where I was for a minute. I haven't really dropped Reed.
I'm joking. You don't take it. You take 150 d8.
No, it's worth it just to see the way you looked at the camera just then.
Reed falls off.
I say, if you go drop me, that's fine. I can actually deal with that.
You're still in Rand's hands.
Okay.
You think I haven't worked out a way to make you not be able to deal with it?
And moves to the edge and let Picasso past.
Yeah, with that, I'll pull my full gargoyles routine again, followed by my Spider-Man routine to keep on going.
Yep, so you jump ahead. Past Rand, and then you jump onto the one that was Eli was on.
Yep.
And then the entire chasm shakes a little bit as you hear the deep roar again. Louder than before. Is the all the pillars shake a little bit.
Angry bro, furry bro, think we should probably hurry up.
Picasso ready?
Aye, aye, furry bro, captain.
I was just going to start swinging him.
Yeet!
Opa!
Lies pulled out a flask of whiskey and is just like,
Was that noise because Reed vomited everywhere again?
Yep.
Ew.
Hold the back of your shell, Picasso.
Bro, angry bro.
Oh, look at me!
Bastard bro puked on me!
I can clean that up in a minute.
And with that, I'm close enough now at this point that I'm confident I'm just going to huck him to the ledge over by angry bro. And with that, watch out, angry bro!
Picasso, at this point, I need you to make me an athletics check.
I've been waiting for it. Reed, do you want the good or the bad news?
The good?
It's a one.
It's an 18. So it's a 28. So...
Oh.
Okay, so you're dead.
That's the bad news. Okay.
You had to beat a 20. So yeah, you succeed. With some
I
new...
I do not catch him. I just want that as an FYI.
The ultimate two-handed yeet. Is you go flying and smack into the wall above a line, just slide down it.
Can I cast Feather Fall myself so it slows me down before I get to the wall or not?
It doesn't work for sideways. Because you're not falling down,
vertical.
You're falling sideways.
Can't let my guy for trying.
So let me just roll some damage. Actually, Picasso, you can roll me some damage because you yeeted him. So, just your normal unarmed strike, obviously plus strength, etc.
Okay.
Well, I stepped out the way and just watched him smash into a wall.
It wasn't... You didn't crit, did... No, you didn't crit. Okay, so just raise your strength.
It's only, and it's only a d8 right now, so it's not too bad.
Plus strength.
That is 4 on the die, so 8 points of damage. Sorry, bastard bro.
You try to slow yourself down, but it just doesn't work. It's bang! You hit the wall and just start sliding down it before you just hit the floor. Next, as you look up at Eli with a bleeding nose that has a little bit of puke in the blood because you did get puke at your nose.
Please clean yourself up.
Afnen are gross.
As you guys takes it on this, you hear the roar again. It's even louder. And at this point, the pillars that you're standing on start to continuously shake violently. And you see them starting to... cracks starting to rise up at them.
Get your asses over here!
They will. You clean yourself up. I don't want to be near you.
I can't hesitate to clean myself.
I look back at Furry Bro and go, "All right, Furry Bro, we gotta go." And I'll turn and finish bounding over the last few.
I will do the same.
Yeah, Picasso, you yeet yourself and land in a big bang next to Eli and Picasso and Ran as you land on the final one and jump. It completely crumbles underneath you. You just make it in time as you jump across and land next to Picasso.
All four fours.
Yeah, as all the pillars collapse into the chasm.
Ah, that is not convenient.
Ran looks down at Reed.
You know, for a smaller man, you hold much vomit.
So, Reed, you need to remove your rope from your inventory because you didn't pick it up.
I will do so.
I took my manacles because...
Yeah.
They're important to me.
I will also say, Picasso, can you lean down, buddy? And I will cut a presentation down his shell to get rid of the vomit.
Yeah, the vomit goes, and your shell is squeaky clean.
Sorry about that.
Let's agree to never speak of this again.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
I lean into Furry Bro.
I'm going to tell the boatswain boys about this the minute we get back to the boat. That was awesome.
Eli shoots a smirk your way as if to say, yeah, like I'm not telling Lauren the moment we get back.
How is possible for a small man to hold so much vomit?
I don't know, Furry Bro. I'm pretty sure his whole body must be made of it or something.
Even Ren is not holding that much vomit.
It's a modern, you know, miracle or something. I don't know, Furry Bro. I don't know medicine like you do, Furry Bro.
It is because he is small.
Maybe turning into a goblin made him exponentially more full of vomit.
What if goblin is not having blood but is only vomit?
Furry Bro, we might be onto something here.
What's on this side of the chasm whilst this goes on?
Yes, please. Vomit. Vomit.
Oh, it's just a walkway into the light. So by the looks of it, it's nice that you can feel a breeze and even smell some fresh air.
Well, I like any place that doesn't smell like vomit. So let's go that way.
Agreed.
Okay. Charge into the light.
Reed will follow.
Something Elias never said.
It takes a few minutes to walk out, and you walk out into what appears to be like an open dome-shaped area with a few puddles here and there, and what appears to be another entrance to a tomb in front of you.
But, and insists on walking for every puddle.
Yeah. Splush, splush, splush,
splush. Is that anything?
Is Ran deliberately up into the next puddle? But Ran, as you go to step in the next puddle along the pathway, you will hear the roar again. And the ground starts to shake as something in the darkness of the tomb in front of you starts to charge. But before anything else can happen, I'm going to end it there. Monster fast approaching. How will the crew do? Will they survive? And what else awaits them on the island? Find out next time. This podcast was brought to you by me, Alex, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mat Attack Productions.